last Sunday morning, I talked with you about the responsibility that husbands have to love their wives. I think I told someone over lunch afterwards that the ladies really like that sermon. But I mentioned last week that I wanted to talk with you this morning about the responsibility that wives have to submit to their husbands. The fellas, they really like this sermon. I want to say at the outset that I am keenly aware of the fact that this idea that wives are to submit to their husbands is viewed by a great many people in our society today as something that is outdated and behind the times. There are many people who view this as a ridiculous kind of thing. Something that in their mind ought to be ignored. But that's a misconception. And I hope that I can demonstrate that fact in our study together this morning. I think a good way for us to begin is by actually looking at what the New Testament says about this particular responsibility that wives have. Now, before I do that, let me just quickly mention that the New Testament also teaches that wives are to love their husbands. And the love that you should have for your husband is basically the same kind of love that he is to have for you, even though a different Greek word is used in Titus chapter 2. But that's not where we're focusing our attention today. So let's look at what the New Testament says about this responsibility. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 5, verses 22 and following, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Paul went on to say later in this same chapter in verse 33, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Paul taught much the same thing when he wrote to the saints in Colossae, when he said in Colossians 3 and verse 18, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." And then Peter echoed this same teaching, and that's why I asked Brother John to read from 1 Peter 3, where he says in the opening verses of that chapter, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even as some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." And we're going to come back a little bit later in our study and look at these passages or portions thereof more carefully. But before we do that, I want to emphasize the fact that this instruction, this particular Bible teaching, is not obscure. It's not unclear or particularly difficult to understand. Now, some New Testament teaching is rather difficult to understand. In fact, the Apostle Peter plainly says that with reference to some of Paul's writings. When he said in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. I'm not sure what Peter had in mind, but I suspect that he may have been talking about the book of Romans. I think a lot of people would think that the book of Revelation is the hardest book in the New Testament, but in my opinion, the book of Romans is the most challenging book, the hardest book to understand. And so there is some difficult teaching in the Word of God. And it can be difficult for different reasons. There are a few places in the Bible where translators are uncertain about what the original text actually said. We've been talking a little bit about that kind of a thing in our study on Wednesday evening about how we got the Bible. Sometimes there are questions about what the original text actually meant, what a particular Hebrew or Greek word might mean in a particular context. Sometimes there are passages where more than one possible meaning might exist. And then sometimes there are just concepts that are deep and difficult. But not in these passages. New Testament instruction about the responsibility that wives have towards their husbands is not hard to understand. It's not deep, it's not difficult, it's not obscure. And all of our English translations basically say pretty much the same thing. And I'm just going to kind of flash these translations before your eyes, and you can see that they basically use the same words. They talk about a wife submitting to her husband or being in subject to husbands. They all say pretty much the same thing. And so this instruction is not hard to understand. I would also like to emphasize that there's no reason for anyone today who respects the Scriptures to think that this teaching is outdated, that it's irrelevant in our society today. I say that because other teaching in the context of Ephesians chapter 5, for example, it is certainly not outdated. It is still true that Christ is the head of the church. And Paul instructs husbands to be the heads of their wives, just as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Well, if the headship of Christ over his church is still relevant, if it's not outdated, then so is the case as far as the headship of the husband is concerned in the home. Nobody thinks that it is outdated for husbands to love their wives. And we talked about that as I've already mentioned last Sunday morning, that's still relevant today. Well, if it's still relevant for husbands to love their wives, then the instruction that Paul gives to wives to be submissive to their husbands is still relevant. It's still up to date in the 21st century. Nobody who has any respect for the Scriptures believes that Paul's instructions that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right, they don't think that's outdated. We don't think it's outdated when Paul told the Colossians that fathers were not to provoke their children to wrath. Well, he says that in the same context where he talks about wives being submissive to their own husbands. And nobody thinks that Peter's instruction to husbands in 1 Peter 3 verse 7, I didn't ask John to read that verse, perhaps I should have, but nobody thinks that that verse is irrelevant today, that husbands are to dwell with their wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the weaker vessel. Well, if this instruction is not outdated, then Paul's instructions to wives is not outdated either. And there is no biblical reason for anyone to think that way. Now, before we go further in our study, I want to talk about one reason why I am persuaded many people think that this instruction is irrelevant and it is outdated. In the minds of many, it's ridiculous and something that we should ignore, as I've already mentioned. I think I'm missing that extra hour. I went to bed early and I went to sleep and I was doing right well, and my phone rang, or no, it sounded. There was an Amber Alert. Oh, you all got the same. Okay, well, we're all suffering from the same problem, so we're in the same boat. So we can commiserate together. One of the reasons that many people reject this teaching is because they have the idea that submission means inferiority. That if you're subject to anybody else in any kind of relationship in any way, that necessarily means that you are inferior, and that is just not true. It's not correct. The fact that God may have delegated authority to another person in a particular relationship does not in any way degrade everybody else who may find themselves in a subordinate role. This audience understands that Paul teaches that citizens are to be subject to civil government. Paul said in Romans 13, verse 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." And then he says in verse 5, "Therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake." Now remember, Paul wrote that to Christians in Rome while Rome was in power. Certainly the pagan rulers that ruled over the Roman Empire were not morally or spiritually superior to God's people. That means that their acceptance of civil authority had nothing to do with their personal value. It was just a matter of recognizing a particular God-given role. Children are instructed by the Lord to obey their parents, but that doesn't imply that parents are better people, that they are more valuable than children. And it may very well be, as children grow older, that they may become smarter, they may even be more godly and righteous than their parents. Doesn't mean that they're inferior, that God instructs them to be submissive to their parents. Think about what Luke tells us about Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. He says, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. What is the fact that Jesus was submissive to his parents? Does that imply that he in any way was inferior to them? Certainly not. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He lived a sinless life. That certainly was not the case of Joseph and Mary. You see, subjection or submission does not imply inferiority. It just implies that some people have a different role than others. The Hebrew writer instructs Christians to submit themselves to elders, to obey those who rule over you, he says in chapter 13, verse 17, and be submissive. And although elders have certain qualifications that they must meet to serve in that capacity, although they are to be knowledgeable and godly individuals, there may be men and women in the congregation who are just as knowledgeable, just as godly. In fact, they may be more knowledgeable than those men who are serving as elders. Doesn't in any way imply that they are inferior to elders. And then may I remind you that the Apostle Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 28 that at the second coming, when Jesus delivers the kingdom back to the Father, that he's going to be then submissive or in subjection to his Father. I understand Paul to mean that at the second coming, Jesus is going to relinquish his messianic authority back to the Father who gave it to him. Listen to what Paul says. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Well, does the fact that Jesus will be in submission to the Father imply in any way that he's inferior to the Father? Remember what Paul said in Philippians 2 that we read just a little bit ago? Paul didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. The fact of the matter is that submission is for everybody. Everybody is submissive or in subjection to somebody. And submission does not imply inferiority. So, ladies, may I say to you that if you have the idea that if you submit to your husband, you are inferior to him, that is just an incorrect idea. That's not biblical teaching. So now then, let's look at what is involved in wives submitting to their husbands. And I want to begin by reminding you that you are obligated to submit yourself to your husband because it is fitting in the Lord. That's what Paul told the Colossians in Colossians 3 and verse 18 when he wrote, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Instead of using the word fitting, some of our other English translations use words like fit or proper. The New Century Version renders this statement like this: "Wives, yield to the authority of your husbands because this is the right thing to do in the Lord." Ladies, you're to submit yourself to your husband because it's the right thing to do. It's fitting, it's appropriate, it's proper. And as the Creator, God has the right to tell you what the right thing to do is. And so, may I say to you, if by chance you find this instruction a bit challenging for you, it really is going to boil down to this: are you going to accept what God says is fitting, or will you accept the modern ideas that are so prevalent in our society today and reject what God says? It really kind of boils down to that. May I say in the second place that biblical teaching says that you are to submit yourselves to your husbands. And this word literally means to arrange under. I understand that it was a military term in ancient times that literally meant to rank under. And the word is made up of two parts. The first part means under. The second part means to arrange. And so submission is to arrange yourself under someone else. Please note that your submission is to be voluntary. Paul does not say that the husband is to subject his wife. In other words, that the husband is to put her in her place. Scripture never says that. Scripture says the wife is to voluntarily rank herself under her husband. And ladies, this instruction is unconditional. In other words, you're obligated to submit to your husband whether he fulfills his responsibilities towards you or not. Now, if he doesn't fulfill his God-given responsibilities, he's going to answer to the Lord for that. But you have an obligation to submit to your husband whether he does right by you or not. And his failures do not exempt you from your responsibility. And then please note that Paul instructs wives to submit to their own husbands. He says in verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Ladies, that's not your daddy. And that's not some other man. You're to submit to your own husband. Now, there are other passages in the New Testament that talk about what I would call a general submission that all women are to give to other men. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, for example, Paul says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." There is a general kind of submission that all women are to show to all men. I think that means that God wants men to be the leaders and women to be the followers or the helpers. But we're talking this morning about the special kind of submission that a wife is to give her husband. And this is a special kind of submission that you give to no one else. And notice that Paul says you are to do this as to the Lord. Now, I don't think this means that the wife is to treat her husband as her Lord. I don't think this means that a wife is to treat her husband in the same way that she submits to the Lord. It means that she is to willingly obey her husband in the same way that she obeys the Lord. And it means that a wife's submission to her husband is service that she renders to the Lord. Let me say that a different way. When a wife submits to her husband, she is serving the Lord in doing that. Compare that idea with something that Paul says to bondservants in Colossians 3, beginning in verse 22. He says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus." Paul is telling servants, i.e. in our modern society, employees, that they need to work as unto the Lord. I'm going to throw this in for free. It's not going to cost you anything extra. A Christian ought to be the very best employee that you can find. And Paul says that you're to submit yourself to your husband because he's the head. He says in Ephesians 5, 22 and 23, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Paul does not say here, submit because your husband is smarter than you are, or stronger, or superior. He says, submit because he's the head. God desires the husband to be the leader in the home. And I'm going to throw this in for nothing too. Fellas, if you're going to love your wife the way Christ loves the church, you're going to have to be the head in your household. And sadly, in too many households, the husband doesn't accept that responsibility. And if that's the case in your household, I'm going to say this as gently as I know how to say it. You're not loving your wife the way Jesus loves the church. Once again, since God, I don't know where that came from. Since God is the creator, he has the right to establish whatever hierarchy he sees fit in the family relationship. And ladies, you're obligated to submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. That's what Paul says in verse 24 of Ephesians 5. "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." I appreciate an observation that one commentator makes here. He says the submission of the church to Christ is voluntary, wholehearted, sincere, enthusiastic. It is a submission prompted not only by a conviction this is right and proper because God demands it, but also by love in return for Christ's love. Remember, John says in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. And then, ladies, you're to submit to your husband in everything. That's what Paul says at the end of verse 24. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, obviously, this would not include sinful things. Common sense alone tells us that. A wife is not to commit sin for her husband or for anyone else, and obedience to God is an overriding principle in all of our relationships in life. Remember the words of Peter in Acts 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so, ladies, if your husband would try to require you to do something that would violate the law of God, you're not to submit to your husband in that. But in all other areas, you're to respect your husband's leadership, even if you have different opinions and preferences. Paul does not say, submit to your husband if you agree with him. He doesn't say submit to your husband if it makes sense to you, if you feel like it, if it's easy for you to do. He says submit in everything. So let me ask you some questions, ladies. Are you being submissive if you refuse to do what your husband asks you to do? Are you being submissive if you do what he asks you to do, but you gripe about it every step of the way? Are you being submissive if you use the sexual relationship as a bargaining chip or a club to keep your husband in line? Are you being submissive if you undermine your husband in the training and the disciplining of your children? That's a toughie. Because mothers and fathers don't always agree when it comes to disciplining the kids. Now, lest I be misunderstood, ladies, I'm not saying that I don't think you can ever express a disagreement with your husband or try to persuade him to maybe take a different course of action. But let me tell you this, don't do that in front of your kids. You need to present a united front before your children. They should never know if there's a disagreement between you and your husband with respect to their discipline. That's something that you need to discuss in private, not before them. Ladies, are you being submissive? Ooh, I stepped on some toes here, maybe. If you refuse to live on the income that he provides, some ladies can spend more money than a husband could earn in five lifetimes. You were supposed to laugh or smile or. But now this is a serious point. Are you Are you being submissive if you refuse to be a keeper at home and a manager of the household? I'm not saying you can't work outside the home. But you can't neglect this responsibility as you do that. Ladies, are you being submissive if you're so busy with your hobbies and activities and you're so busy with your children that you have little time for your husband? Are you being submissive to your husband? Well, I guess there's a lot of other questions that we could ask as well. The Testament teaches that the submission that you give your husband is to be motivated by respect. He says in Ephesians 5:33, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Now, if you're reading from the Old King James Version, it uses the word reverence. But that doesn't mean that you've got to treat your husband like some kind of a god. It just means that you're to respect your husband. And all of our more recent translations use the word respect instead. Your submission to your husband needs to be motivated by your respect for him. And so, let me ask you some more questions. That was not supposed to happen. My secretary did it again. Are you respecting your husband if you undermine him in the training and the disciplining of your children? Are you respecting your husband if you publicly belittle him before other people? I'm going to throw this. Well, you're getting lots of extra free stuff this morning. I hate it when men refer to their wives as the old lady. And I hate it when wives refer to their husbands as the old man. Okay, that was free. Are you respecting your husband if you unfavorably compare him to other men? One husband said to his wife, "You sure don't make bread like my mama," and she replied, "You don't make dough like my daddy either." Are you respecting your husband if you tease him about little idiosyncrasies? We all have them, don't we? Did you see my wife nod her head yes? She didn't even hesitate a moment. Let me tell you something. She's got a few idiosyncrasies herself. Are you respecting your husband if you make fun of some physical trait? If you show little appreciation for his work to support and provide for the family? Let me tell you, ladies, men derive their sense of self-respect from what they do. And you need to appreciate that. Uh-oh, here it comes. Are you respecting your husband if you're nagging all the time? We don't really like that. And it's not really effective. And the book of Proverbs has quite a lot to say about that. Proverbs 21 verse 9, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. When I was a boy, I liked to play in my grandparents' attic. There was all kinds of old stuff to rummage around and look through and all. But you know something about attics? They are hot in the summertime and they are cold in the wintertime, and I wouldn't want to live there. Wise man says in Proverbs 27:15, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. You've all heard of the Chinese water, the water torture test or whatever. Yeah, right? You ever had a leaky faucet? Well, sure you have. Drip. Drip. Drip, drip. One last point. Ladies, you're obligated to submit yourself to your husband, even if he's not a Christian. Notice what Peter says, 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. That necessarily implies that there were some Christian women in the first century who were married to non-Christians, and Peter says, you be submissive to your husbands. And one reason for that is so that they might perhaps be won because of the godly example of their wives. So ladies, you're obligated to be submissive to your husband whether he's a Christian or not. You're obligated to be submissive to your husband whether he treats you right or not. Being submissive is not always an easy thing, but it is something that God expects you to do. But ladies, may I tell you something that will make it easier? It'll be easier for you to submit to your husband if you marry a man who will love you the way Jesus loves the church. That's the kind of man you need to find. That's the kind of man you need to marry. Well, I'm through. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word, which instructs us and challenges us. It's not always easy to follow your instructions, but we know that your commandments are a reflection of your character, and you are trying to help us be partakers of the divine nature. We know that you want your children to look like their father. And so we pray that you'll help us as husbands to love our wives as Jesus loves the church. That you'll help us as wives to submit to our husbands as the church submits to Jesus. We thank you for the submission of our Savior and his willingness to leave the glories of heaven to come here and live as a man, to be obedient even to the point of death, the excruciating death of the cross. May we be motivated by His love and His example to live lives like His. In His name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our invitation hymn. And if your life's not right with the Lord, you can make it right through the blood of Jesus. You can be forgiven. You can respond to the gospel now as we stand and we sing.